You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
She moves like she don't care. Smooth as silk, cool as air.
Hello, hello, hello. You are listening to This Catholic Life podcast, and I am your host, Rosalie Contrite of the Contrite Catholic blog. You can always find me at www.contritecatholic.com. Well, it's been another exciting week. We have been picked up, and by we, I mean me and my microphone. We have been picked up by Breadbox Media, and you can find them at breadboxmedia.com. And essentially what that means is we're affiliated with them, and we will now be making shows with them. So I hope you all check them out, and I'm so thankful to them for this opportunity. So thank you, Leo and Jennifer. This past week, I went to the ocean. I won't give you the location in case we got any creepers. And I went to go visit my grandfather, who he's nearing the end of his life. And this caused me, you know, a great deal of sadness to see him so frail. And he requires an increasing amount of sleep. So I thought, I'll go visit a church nearby and pray for him, and I will have some peace. So immediately it dawned on me that I was out of town in an area with amazing churches, and it's the year of mercy. So I decided to seek a holy door. I hopped in my grandmother's car with her, plugged this church into my GPS, because neither of us had been there, and we arrived magically. So that worked out well. We pulled up to the side of the church, and it looked fairly simple outside. I was a little bummed. I was like, come on, I want to see something amazing if I'm out of town. And we walk up to the big doors, the main doors to the building. And immediately all of my aspirations are dashed. The door was locked. I was so mad. I was like, what kind of church locks their holy doors in the year of mercy? Like, the one thing I have to do, it's non-negotiable, is to walk through these doors. And you've got them locked. So, of course, I understand. They're worried about, you know, vandalism and theft. But that wasn't on my radar. All I care about is walking through those doors. But we were not deterred. My grandmother, all of a sudden, and we've got my baby in a stroller. So we're circling this church, me and this little old woman and a baby, and we're pulling at every door, and they're all locked. So I was just not a happy camper. Finally, we came across this barred door, and it was slightly ajar. And so I thought, well, let's just see if it leads into the church, because it doesn't seem like it's connected to it. And then, of course, I joked with my grandmother that it would be so awesome and a good story if we were to get arrested for sneaking into a church to pray. She's like, no, it's fine. It's fine. You're going in to see Jesus. And so we go in, and there were some amazing frescoes on the inside. And I took some pictures and put them up on ContriteCatholic.com. There's a post. There's a beautiful mural of Jesus and St. Maximilian Kolbe and Blessed Mother. And then there is a take on Madonna of the Streets. There were just amazing stained glass windows. And at the very back of their church, which I really liked, there was this sort of gable or arch. I don't know how you describe it. A wooden arch, but it wasn't actually an entryway. And it said, "Mercy is God's gift of love." And I really like that, because how true. We only need to accept this gift. He is willing to forgive us no matter what we've done. We just need to take it. And of course, I took a little picture of the official statement that says, you know, this is a holy door. And it said, the Year of Mercy 2015 to 2016, the Universal Church inaugurates the Porta Sancta, a holy door where we leave the past behind us and cross into the threshold from sin to grace. And you know what that made me think of? My conversion. So, to a lot of people's excitement, I have decided to talk about it in a series. So I'm going to start with it today. I am not going to go through all of it. I can't promise when I'm going to finish the story or at what rate I'll be ready to talk about it. So when we come back at the synod, I'm going to be talking about my conversion story. I'm going to begin at the beginning of my conversion process for all intents and purposes with this story. And I will fill in a little backstory where it is appropriate as we go. That seems like it will be the most interesting to listeners and spare you the boring details that people don't want to hear or don't need to know. As I am telling the story, if you have questions, please let me know. You can email me at contrite.catholic@gmail.com. I also have Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Most of my accounts are at rosaliecontrite.com. I'd love to be able to clarify on the show and maybe feature you and or your question in listener feedback. I was baptized Catholic as a baby, and my parents were both Catholic. I do not remember us ever saying like a family rosary together or anything. I mean, we prayed like at Thanksgiving and we went to Mass, but I'd say we were your average Catholics. Growing up, I was often told the what concerning the faith, but the why would be left out. So I was told I needed to go to Mass on Sunday, but not the why. I was told I needed to save sex for marriage, but not the why. I was told that contraception was against our religion, but not why. As many people know, the what without the why is next to useless. People have intellect and want to know what they are doing. They are not little minions of the church. We have a right to understand why the church says what she says. And even more importantly, she does in fact have great reasons. Today, that's what I can't get over more than anything in my conversion, is how satisfying and sturdy all of the explanations and reasonings truly are. But I digress. My mother died when I was around 13, and before this, I had basically been agnostic. Personally, I'm not speaking for anyone else in my family here. At the time of her death, it cemented my atheism, and I entered a serious dark period in my life. Atheism was the ticket for me, though from this point on until my conversion, I wasn't passive and quietly accepting. I actively said things in opposition to Christianity. I openly criticized the church, and I had a lot of vitriol in general toward this man-made organization, as I perceived it. Having given this background, I'm going to start at the origin of my conversion. Some of this I've written from my own memory, and I will fill you in with the details as we go, so I have some notes to guide me. So, on that fateful day, which I will call the origin of my conversion, I walked into a local Catholic shop and I was looking for a gift. I would not have set foot in this store without a purpose, and I wasn't happy about being in it. Anyhow, I was getting a gift. I actually used to joke about this store a great deal. I would drive by it on the way to my home and I would see people in the top of the building. I don't know, they looked like they were like holding hands or something. And I would joke it was a cult. So that was the extent of my interaction with this store prior to that day. Walking in the doorway, I quietly looked around and took in all of the familiar symbols of my childhood. But I wasn't feeling anything warm and fuzzy. There were crucifixes, icons, rosaries, statues. Just, they packed this quaint little business. And it almost made me angry to see them because of how much I hated the church at this point. Relatively quickly, I was greeted by an older woman with a strong accent and personality. She led me around graciously, showing me all the items which might serve as appropriate gifts. When I began considering my choices, she wasted no time. She said, "Are you Catholic?" And she said it so cheerfully and overpronounced the word. And so I said, well, I mean, my family was growing up. I trailed off, not wanting to discuss with the owner of a Catholic shop my belief in no God. She goes, "So you are Catholic then?" I said, "I'm not really anything, honestly. I'm not sure what I believe." I offered, you know, trying to save myself this conversation, which was happening against my will. By now, I was touching this large outdoor statue of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So it was like 32 inches tall, and it was one of those kind of whitish gray statues that you put outside. And I was trying to appear very busy. You know, too busy to talk about my atheism. She said, "You must know this statue." She said, you know, gesturing that I was examining her unnaturally long. I said, "It reminds me of my mother. She was very Catholic." And so the woman said, "Was she left the faith?" And I said, "Oh no, she died when I was about 13. And the woman, she exclaims so certainly. She says, "Oh, you have a saint in heaven praying for you." And I said, "You seem very sure of that. Why?" You know, I asked her, and I realized at this point that I had never given much thought to where my mother was. She said, "When you say our Lord's mother reminds you of her, I cannot believe she ended up anywhere else, but just in case, I will pray for her," she offered reassuringly. And I thought, who is this woman? I was flabbergasted. I only managed to mutter a perfunctory thank you. My mind was instantly flooded with memories and my eyes fixed blankly on this Madonna statue. And I'll never forget this moment. Because I still don't understand it. She said, "Take her with you." And I said, "Excuse me?" I questioned, thinking this was a terrible sales ploy. "Yes, she has an imperfection. You can just have her, no charge." An enormous smile stretched across my face at this point. I was so excited. You know, maybe it was the bargain hunter inside of me. Maybe I wanted the reminder of my mother. Years later, I would learn this woman felt an overcast of sadness and darkness about me, so palpable. She knew that I needed this imperfect Madonna. "Get it blessed, okay? Do it for me," she pleaded. "Yes, yes, I will. I promised." Not considering I didn't know any priests or even where I could find one in the city because I had never practiced in the town where I lived. And so it was. The imperfect Madonna and the even more imperfect girl brought together by a stranger's act of kindness. As Mariano, my longtime boyfriend, drove the vehicle to our home, where we lived together, by the way, I chuckled to myself and I thought, what kind of atheist accepts a gift of a 32-inch Immaculate Heart of Mary statue? You know, pulling up to the house, Mariano and I shared, I noticed a spot out front that was perfect for my Madonna. I wasn't interested in returning to the faith of my youth at all, but it was a very kind gift. I couldn't very well put Mary out on my bookshelf. It had to go outside. It was 32 inches, and it was this outdoor statue. It would have looked insane inside the house. So I pulled my Mary out of the trunk, and I felt a little like a mob hitman pulling a body from the car. She was so big, so I had her under my arm, like you hold a toddler having a tantrum. And I carried my maimed Mary to the front of my house. We had a small decorative garden in front of my house with a small grapevine planted in it. And I marveled at how it had been, I had been so unable to decide how to complete this little space. My new Mary would fill the void perfectly. It looked like it took a little finesse and patience to make her stand up straight because she was imperfect. But I stepped back and examined my little micro vineyard. The arching and the weaving vines provided a beautiful and fitting adornment. The full scenic beauty would be realized when the lilies I had selected to embellish the area bloomed. I am awestruck by the hand of divine providence in all of this. Early in the year, I had selected lilies to grow in front of the vine for no real reason that I can recall. Looking back, it was such a strange choice. You know, wine grapes and lilies? I mean, maybe someone thinks that's normal, but I think it's a little bit of a strange pairing. And I find great beauty in the idea that I was drawn to the lilies that day in a divine preparation for the eventual resting place of a depiction of the Mother of God. In art, throughout the ages, Mary is often symbolized by a lily. Even her earthly spouse, Joseph, is often depicted holding a lily. And the somewhat eerie coincidences did not end there. The grapes were not table grapes, but wine grapes. And they hearkened to the biblical account of the wedding at Cana. And there the guests, you know, they ran out of wine. And who instructed them and pointed them to Christ? Mary, when she uttered one of her few recorded sentences saying, "Do whatever he tells you." It would seem across space and time, Our Lady had never stopped leading us to her divine son, and that is quite lucky for me. Now, in all of the excitement of my bargain, I completely spaced getting my gift. And you knew what that means? I had to go back. Okay, we are at the tribunal, which is the part of the show where I review a Catholic media or product. I do not accept compensation, and whatever the product is, I must have bought it with my own money and not directly from the people so that they can't send me like a super good version and then be selling everybody else bad versions. The item I have selected to review today is the Saint Thérèse of Lisieux doll by Dolls from Heaven. My daughter recently turned 4 and she got this for her birthday. And my first impression of this doll was, holy cow, it smells like roses. I don't know how they did it. I don't know if they did it on purpose. Maybe my doll, it's a miracle. I better call the Vatican. No. This doll smells like roses, and not those cheap artificial roses. Like, it smells beautiful. Her clothes. And yeah, I had to set the doll down because it was probably creeping everybody out at the party that I was huffing this doll's hair. The outfits that they sent with her are so amazing. They look exactly like her habit. And the dress, they have a dress that you used to see in a picture of her. If you Google her name and you look it up, you'll see as a child she wore this dress. They perfectly replicated it for her, for the doll, and it looks just like her. And so I think this is called her Sunday best dress. And it's so well made, and it's just beautiful. Like, I wish that I could get the dress in my size. It's so pretty. And she has little boots with the dress and sandals with her, you know, her Carmelite habit. And she comes with a book about her life, and it's a little above my daughter's reading level, but I have no doubt as she gets older that we'll talk about it and we'll read it together. And she also comes with a rosary that it's so beautiful, and it's wooden and it's totally usable. It's not, you know, it has the right amount of beads and it's very sturdy. So I don't know if they sell those individually, but if they sell these rosaries on their own, they're awesome. So my overall opinion is that it's about the same price point as the American Girl dolls. It's very similar in quality. I had an American Girl doll when I was a little girl. I had, I think, Samantha. It's very, very similar. I hope they come out with more accessories, and I hope they come out with more dolls. I think that they have that kind of in the pipeline. They're hoping to do that, maybe like Saint Joan of Arc, which would be really awesome for all those, you know, tomboy type girls who are very can do. I would highly recommend this. I think as children, when we play, we're role playing adult life, whether we're playing house or whatever. And I think a doll like this could help foster vocations or even just the understanding about what's important in our lives. And no one is better than Saint Therese to teach about the relationship that we should seek with our Lord and having that child life. Like faith, it's so beautiful. Easily, hands down, 5 out of 5. This doll is perfect. It smells like roses, literally. Okay, it could not get better. The packaging was adorable, beautiful. I didn't wrap it because the boxes are so beautiful. They have this little blue ribbon and their little Dolls from Heaven sticker on it. I was so pleased. I'm in heaven with my Dolls from Heaven. 5 out of 5. Do recommend. Well, here we are. I'm a pterodactyl. Welcome to the Responsorial, where I go to listener land and read your feedback. The iTunes reviews, let's have a look. There's one from a Danielle Eileen. I hope I'm saying that right. She says, 5-star review, loving learning more about my faith through this podcast. Rosalie has a lot to offer. Thank you very much, Danielle. There's an A++ review from Cleo's Man. Guess he doesn't know the show is for women. No, I'm just kidding. The show is not just for women. But I'm not going to stay away from topics because they might only appeal to women, I guess is the thing that I would say. Anyways, Cleo's Man says, this is a wonderful podcast that does a great job of looking at life from a Catholic point of view. It's humorous and real and an amazing listen. 5 out of 5 stars. I also would like to give a shout out to a listener who likes my voice. She likes that I sing the ends of my words. Shout out to Lauren at Loyola. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Thank you so much for listening and for giving me a shot. I hope that you enjoy the content. I hope that everyone feels free to write me and to let me know what they're thinking. If they have more questions about the conversion story that I have laid out, I'm going to again talk about it in another podcast. I will probably have random podcasts in between the next time I talk about it. And the reason being, A, I have to write about it. And I'm busy. I have an art shop, so I'm busy painting. I have a blog. I am a mom. I'm trying to be a decent wife. So it takes me a while to really lay out my thoughts about my conversion, but I'm very excited to share it with you. And it will take an interesting turn. It's not your average story. But I'm so glad that I can share it with people, and I hope that it helps somebody. So write me, guys. Write me at contrite.catholic@gmail.com. Okay? Okay, bye.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.